Good evening and welcome to the local news. Today is Wednesday, March 19th. I'm Lauren Schmidt reporting for KMUD. In tonight's news, 5 Humboldt County schools placed on lockdown, suspect identified. Major drug trafficking bust in Humboldt County uncovers cocaine, weapons, and millions in transactions. And Eureka City Council tabled the vote on its homeless camping and sleeping ordinance. Stay tuned. News on those stories and more coming right up. Five Humboldt County schools were placed on lockdown over the course of the day, starting with Sunny Bray School before classes began. Throughout the day, Arcata Elementary, Trinidad Union School, Grant Elementary, and Jacoby Creek School were also on lockdown. And according to police, all of these incidents are connected, including the lockdown at Eureka High School yesterday. The Arcata Police Department issued a statement this afternoon. Quote, the Arcata Police Department, in conjunction with the Humboldt County Sheriff's Office, Eureka Police, Fortuna Police, and other regional partners, are investigating a string of ongoing threatening phone calls to schools and businesses throughout the county. From January 2025 to present, the adult male subject has called over 20 schools and businesses, making threats that have resulted in lockdown protocols and law enforcement responses. Close quote. Officer Jansen with Arcata Police shares more.
What occurred is the Sunny Bray Middle School received a phone call with some threats. I'm not privileged as to what the exact threats were at this stage. However, this is an ongoing issue. I think Eureka had a similar issue yesterday, and therefore they wanted lockdown for a brief moment. They're out of lockdown. The threat is not imminent. There's nothing credible to it at this stage by any means, and we do not believe this person is anywhere near the area at this stage, but there's no threat to the school.
According to APD, the suspect has been identified and resides out of state. Although they did not name the suspect, he is believed to be responsible for all of the recent lockdowns and is already known to law enforcement. And Arcata police detectives are currently seeking a warrant for his arrest.
Correct. We did confirm that. So we always make sure we do that. So in this scenario, especially with schools. So yeah, we did confirm that he's nowhere near here. And then, like I said, there's no imminent threat by any means. And then, so yeah, if you want to put it out there, the parents shouldn't be alarmed about this. And yes, it's ongoing. It's, as far as we understand, it's the same person based on the information we have. And this is still an ongoing investigation. So I can't divulge you with too much information, of course. But we are heavily looking into this with other agencies as well to resolve the issue because it's ongoing.
If your school or business has received threats, you are asked to contact your local law enforcement agency and follow your threat assessment policies and procedures. The Arcata Police Department has been in contact with local school districts and will respond to assess and investigate each incident occurring within the city of Arcata.
But if there's another call, we'll certainly take it serious. We'll do patrol checks and ensure that the person is not anywhere near there.
Luke Biesecker, the superintendent of the Arcata School District, sent an update to parents, stating that faculty and staff will be focused on ensuring the presence of increased social-emotional support for students adversely impacted by the threats. He also shared resources on how families can talk to their children about violence. We have posted his letter and those resources at kmud.org. If you have any information about this case, you are asked to contact the Arcata Police Department's Investigation Unit at 707-822-2428. A collision between a semi-truck and a van shut down both lanes of Highway 101 this Wednesday afternoon, south of Confusion Hill, north of Leggett. The highway has since reopened, but for more on this incident, we spoke with Officer Cepeda, a public information officer with the Garberville CHP.
Earlier today, around 11:40 in the morning, there was a two-vehicle collision on US 101. Both lanes of travel were closed for quite some time. There was, like I said, two vehicles involved, a semi-truck and a van that had gone into the river. There was parties that appeared to have minor to moderate injuries that were transported. Right now, currently, the situation is one-way traffic control just to recover the vehicle.
According to a report by KMUD's Lisa Music for the Redheaded Black Belt, the crash left the semi-truck blocking both lanes of traffic, while the van ended up in the water. Initial reports suggest that there might have been an occupant in the submerged vehicle, but CAL FIRE later confirmed that no victims were found inside. The two occupants of the van were able to exit the vehicle and make it to the shore of the South Fork Eel River.
So the vehicle went into the water, and then the passengers were either extricated or by themselves or through medical onto the embankment there and then brought up to the road.
At this time, the cause of the collision is still under investigation. Officer Cepeda was unable to speak to the factors that may have been involved, but noted that that stretch of Highway 101 sees a high rate of incidents.
Yeah, I would say mind your speed, especially going through the grove there. It is just two lanes, and we need to make sure that we are properly monitoring our speed while we're taking those corners, just in order to avoid collisions, especially with semi-trucks who take a little bit more lane real estate.
You can see photos and more from this collision at kimkemp.com. 2 pounds of cocaine, 10 guns, and $11 million in transactions to Mexico were reportedly discovered after a member of an alleged drug trafficking organization met with an undercover agent from the Humboldt County Drug Task Force. HCDTF says two have been arrested after an extensive 4-month investigation.
My name is Sergeant Filippini with the Humboldt County Drug Task Force. For this case, began in November of 2024, where we began investigating a drug trafficking organization based out of Guatemala that was operating in Humboldt County. During our investigation, we were able to identify an Oscar Cruz Ramos as a potential narcotics trafficker. The Humboldt County Drug Task Force was able to successfully introduce an undercover agent to Oscar Cruz Ramos.
Cruz Ramos, age 29, is the lead suspect in the case, which spanned over the course of months.
We were able to purchase several ounces of cocaine and a firearm from Cruz Ramos. On March 14th, 2025, requested a kilo or 2.2 pounds of cocaine from Cruz Ramos, which he agreed. He met with our undercover agent at an undisclosed location in Eureka. The transaction was completed. Upon completion of the transaction, we placed Mr. Cruz Ramos under arrest, along with his girlfriend, Yamilith Rodas Larios.
After Cruz Ramos and Rodas Larios were taken into custody, agents with the Humboldt County Drug Task Force served a multi-location search warrant on properties associated with Cruz Ramos.
One of the locations was an address off of High Street in Eureka, where we located a small amount of cocaine, 92 pounds of processed marijuana, and $2,847 of U.S. currency. Secondary location would be on Meadow Street in Fortuna. Agents located 8 firearms, including an AK-47 assault rifle and a non-serialized AR-15 assault rifle. Agents also located $226,305 in U.S. currency. 15 pounds of processed marijuana packaged for sales, and multiple high-capacity magazines. Additionally, we located money wire transfer receipts from the United States to Mexico. at Cruz Ramos's residence located in Carlotta off Highway 36. We located approximately 48 pounds of processed marijuana packaged for sales, 174 growing marijuana plants, two firearms, which included a personally manufactured AR-15 with no serial number, and similar money transfer receipts from the United States to Mexico.
Cruz Ramos was charged with 8 felonies, including possession of narcotics for the purpose of sales, trafficking narcotics, conspiracy to commit a crime, and manufacturing an assault weapon. However, Sergeant Filippini says the investigation didn't end there.
The following week, March 18th, agents with the Humboldt County Drug Task Force, Federal Bureau of Investigations, and investigators with the Humboldt County District Attorney's Office served 2 more search warrants. One would be on 2nd Street and Fields Landing. The second would be in the 400 business in the 400 block of South Fortuna Boulevard. At the Fields Landing location, agents located 103 pounds of processed marijuana that was packaged for sales. At the business located on South Fortuna Boulevard, agents located hundreds of money transfer receipts. Upon reviewing those receipts, most of the transfers were money going from Humboldt County to Mexico and Guatemala. On several of those receipts, we observed that Cruz Ramos's name was on them, along with previous subjects of HCDTF investigations, all of which were transferring money from Humboldt County to Mexico and Guatemala. During service of the search warrant, we also located $14,774 in U.S. currency. Our Fortuna Police K-9 cane alerted on that cash, indicating the presence of narcotics. And then also, prior to serving that search warrant, we were able to retrieve some of the financial records for the business for 2024. In 2024, that business alone transferred over $11 million to Mexico and Guatemala.
Sergeant Filippini was unable to name the Fortuna business allegedly involved in wiring millions of dollars south, but he stated that it is located on the 400 block of South Fortuna Boulevard. He also believes that this drug trafficking organization is cartel related.
Obviously, when there's a presence of this quantity of narcotics and this quantity of cash going back and forth, there's always going to be some type of cartel nexus. Now, did we find paperwork saying so-and-so is a member of the Sinaloa cartel or so on and so forth? No, but all indicators are pointing that this is a large cartel operation here in Humboldt County.
When asked if the sheriff's office is able to recover the $11 million sent to Mexico and Guatemala, he said,
Unfortunately, no. From our understanding, once the transfer is made, the business has 2 days to deposit the money into a bank. And then from there, I'm not sure where it goes, which is what we're trying to figure out. At any given point in time, the business could be holding on to, you know, $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 at a time from these wire transfers. It's going to be a long, complicated investigation moving forward to try and figure out how these businesses work.
In closing, he stated that the Drug Task Force will be continuing their investigation into this and other drug trafficking organizations.
Well, I can't say too much, but what I will say is that there are agencies with experts in these fields, specifically like this is not an uncommon thing to run into, specifically like in Southern and Central California. This is kind of a day-to-day thing that other task forces come across. So we are reaching out to those experts to figure out what our next best course of action is. Anyone with information related to this investigation or other narcotics-related crimes is encouraged to call the Humboldt County Drug Task Force at 707-267-9976.
You can see photos from the bust at kmud.org. The Eureka City Council is working to address the challenges posed by homelessness while considering the concerns of residents and ensuring that rights and dignity of unhoused individuals are respected. Last night, the council held a hearing on an ordinance aimed at providing assistance. The proposal received mixed reactions from several council members and a significant number of residents. KMUD's Kelly Lincoln reports on the details of the meeting.
The Eureka City Council held a hearing on its proposed unlawful camping, sitting, or lying ordinance. If passed, it would become a misdemeanor up from an infraction to camp, sleep, or use camping gear in public or private spaces except for backyard campouts. If passed, the city could issue special permits for events such as the Kinetic Sculpture Race, where racers sometimes sleep near their machines on the first night of the race. Additionally, sitting in doorways, washing in fountains, public urination, and warming fires would also become misdemeanors. Backyard fires would remain permissible under existing fire marshal rules. Exceptions to the prohibition would apply for people using designated seating such as benches, waiting at bus stops, attending parades or events, as well as for medical emergencies and mobility aid users. Public interest on this matter was substantial. County chambers were completely filled with an additional overflow room. More participants joined by Zoom. The council heard 40 minutes of staff presentation and over 5 hours of public comment, stretching the meeting into the wee hours of the morning. Several voices expressed support for the ordinance because they want a more presentable town to live in. Others want the green belts to feel more safe and expressed concern about homeless camping because of the pollution, including the fact there are no toilets available. A few people articulated the positive role law enforcement can have in keeping people out of prison and moving people toward recovery and/or treatment. However, the vast majority of comments came from those who are opposed to criminalizing poverty. The comment period finally wound up at about 1:30 in the morning. The council members were exhausted. Councilmember Moulton moved to table the vote until the next meeting. Bauer had concerns.
I would like to make motion that we table the rest of this item to the next regular council meeting on April 1st.
Can I ask, what would that entail? Just making a decision, no additional public comment?
I don't know whether we pick up the process right here or if we have to, or if we would then go back a step. That's not super clear. But what is clear is that this is, if we are going to move forward with this, there is a lot of input and a lot of thoughtful consideration that needs to happen. There's been a lot of conversation and a lot of public comment. I don't think that sleeping on it is going to do us any harm.
Council Member Contreras Deluche moved to table the vote until the newly formed Ad Hoc Homeless Committee has met and considered the ordinance with the feedback the council received at this hearing.
My feeling on this was when I found out it was going to be on the agenda and I talked with our city manager about this, was that I wanted to wait. Council Member Fernandez and I have been appointed for that Ad Hoc Committee. Our first meeting isn't until March 28th. My personal opinion is that we lack adequate services. I am not comfortable passing an ordinance like this until we start addressing some other things first. It's not a no for me. It's a not right now because I think there's some structural things that need to be worked on. I feel that we should involve other members of the community in this conversation prior to as well. So I'm going to go ahead and throw that out there now and say, because I don't want it to turn around and come back in a week, because I think we should work on our 2 weeks, that we should have an opportunity to work on this. And I think we should have an opportunity for us to get to meet with our chief and our city manager.
In alignment with Contreras Deluche, Councilmember Castellano listed out a host of items she feels need to be taken into consideration.
Thinking about this and doing some research, I have a list of 9 things that I think should be considered. I do think it would be good to generally have a working group on homelessness. And working towards continuing to address this, maybe it's an ongoing group, including, community members, advocates, people from the with lived experience, trail stewards, building owners, real estate community, people from the faith community, look for, you know, opportunities to implement LEED types of programs with people who are already getting misdemeanors for something like the, you know, who are already entering the system. And so we're not adding more to the system. We're actually helping to like divert people from those systems. Homelessness court, I think, should be, or homeless court should be explored. That has existed in the past, but is no longer. Increasing of detox mental health spaces and also innovation around those spaces and planning towards them. A better understanding of the numbers needed for sanctioned camping and low and no barrier sites for folks who are harder to find housing for, such as folks with animals or partners or, you know, any whatever reason. So just, I don't think we have a real sense of the numbers of housing we need, or at least I haven't heard that. Trash service, portable toilet bags, you know, and folks and funding for folks to support the implementation of those things. I do also would love to see more folks volunteering on trails and just volunteering in the community.
Confusion abounded due to exhaustion, but ultimately the vote was tabled. KMUD News will keep you informed on the progress of this topic as it evolves.
Area 1 Agency on Aging is seeking input from older adults, providers, and other interested parties on its area plan for services in Humboldt and Del Norte counties. They will be holding a public meeting tomorrow, Thursday, March 20th, at the Healy Senior Center in Redway. The agency is encouraging the public to attend and provide feedback on their proposed services for older adults 60 and older in the community. For more, we spoke with Maren Rose, a planner and manager with the agency.
And we want to talk about our programs and services that we are planning for next fiscal year, which runs for us July 1 of 2025 through June 30th of 2026. And so it's an opportunity to for the older folks in that area and their family members and supporters and providers to give input on services, proposed services, but also anything else they would like to make comments on.
The Older Americans Act established the California Department of Aging and a statewide network of 33 area agencies. This network is responsible for planning and addressing California's current and the future aging and long-term care needs.
What that means is we are funded by the Older Americans Act. We are, the agency is a result of that federal funding that comes to the state of California and other states, and then it's dispersed according to census, U.S. Census numbers of older adults age 60 and older. And the purpose of it, as I mentioned, is to assist older adults with maintaining maximum independence and to avoid institutionalization, and also to coordinate and develop a continuum of services.
A1AA serves Humboldt and Del Norte counties, representing nearly 44,000 people over the age of 60. The Area 1 Agency on Aging has developed a 123-page area plan that outlines planned activities and goals through 2028. The plan details the process for identifying the needs of older adults and their caregivers. Rose says this strategic planning ensures that services are tailored to support the evolving needs of older adults and their caregivers in Humboldt and Del Norte counties.
We do this planning process, and the four-year plan, which was, as I mentioned, is the 24-28. So that's, we're in that plan right now. We're in the first update year. So the four-year plan itself is a comprehensive plan, but then in the update year, which for us will be 25-26, we don't really make major changes to that four-year plan, but we still need to go out and share it with our community and for public input.
Notably, this is the first time in over 14 years that A1AA is holding a meeting in Southern Humboldt.
feel like this is a great opportunity, and we really hope that people in living in the area can take advantage or contact me.
According to the group's area plan, there is a growing trend of older adults becoming homeless in Del Norte County. Out of a caseload of approximately 200 people, about 60% are older adults, including a significant number in their 80s. According to Del Norte Mission Possible, most of these older adults are single, dependent on Social Security retirement, and are living on less than $1,000 per month. Many of these individuals are experiencing homelessness for the first time, often following the death of a spouse or partner, which leads to a loss of income. In Humboldt County, Arcata House has seen a rise in older adults with high health needs. Most are single women in their 70s and 80s who have become homeless after living in substandard housing. Many sleep in their cars and experience a health crisis that ultimately leads to homelessness. Arcata House has identified two major challenges in addressing this issue: lack of qualified in-home supportive services staff, and difficulty finding adequate housing for older adults who need help with daily living activities, particularly those who are non-ambulatory. Additionally, 49% of all adults in the district age 60 and older report feeling depressed. Tomorrow's meeting in Redway will provide an overview of A1AA's findings and the services they offer to address these issues. And a key goal of the area plan is to make services easier to access and better meet the evolving needs of the community.
On the 20th, starting at 12:45 at Healy Senior Center, we will be there. And we'll do a little presentation, a PowerPoint presentation with an overview of services and give background on what this is all about. And then we open it up for input. And we write down the comments on pieces of paper on flip charts, and we'll put them up on the wall. And so we'll just open it up to people at the senior center who want to give input during that hearing. We take that input back, review it. I develop a summary of that that's kind of based in themes based on what people said. And that also is added to our area plan update for 25-26. So the input is included in our planning process and in our area plan update.
The area plan update is due May 1st and will be submitted to the California Department of Aging.
They must approve it before we can get funding for next year. And so even though we're kind of working on a deadline here, we at the agency welcome input at any time. And that can be given to our board of directors, to our advisory council, to me, to our executive director. And so I want to ensure that people understand that even though we're holding this public hearing, that does not mean we still don't take input as people want to give it to us. However, for this area plan, if you can't attend the hearing, but you still want to provide input, one of the things we can do is provide you with a copy of the PowerPoint slides. And as long as that input is received by the 11th of April, we can include it in the area plan update for 25-26.
For more information or a copy of their presentation, you can contact Marin Rose.
My email is mrose@a1aa.org, or you can call me at 707-498-8461.
You can find a link to the plan, their services, and more about Thursday's public meeting in Redway at kmud.org. That's all for tonight's broadcast. Thank you for listening. Thanks to our engineer, Larry Lashley, and thanks to our reporter, Kelly Lincoln. KMUD News is online. You can find us on kmud.org, SoundCloud, Instagram, and Facebook. That's where you can see stories, links, and videos. And we are now streaming on most podcast platforms. If you have questions or suggestions, you can give us a call at 707-923-2605 or send us an email to news@kmud.org. Reporting from our studio in Redway, I'm Lauren Schmidt.